Lord, we thank you that this morning and this evening we're going to be studying a fantastic principle that can cause us to find and fulfill our dream, our plan in life. Lord, I pray that this will become enlightened to us by the Spirit of God. It'll not just be dry, but it'll be alive with the Holy Ghost. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. If you can agree with that prayer, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible and let's go together to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And as I said, this is our first session of two. We'll be again together tonight. What time tonight will we be meeting? 6 o'clock tonight. So if you're not a Sunday night person, generally speaking, I would encourage you to be here because we are going to be talking about how to fulfill the dream that you have. The rewards of faithfulness. Faithfulness is kind of one of those words that typically is kind of boring. You know, you grow up as a little boy, a little girl, and they tell you to be faithful. Do this, do what you're supposed to do. It's kind of like, oh, okay. But how does this really tie in to the dream and the plan that God has for your life? Because, you know, you can have no money, or you can have all the money in the world, but that still is no guarantee that you're going to fulfill the dream and the plan that God has for your life. And so this principle of faithfulness, as we'll see, is so crucial to being successful in God. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, and if you don't have a Bible, I'd encourage you to look on with somebody. Chapter 1, and let's look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, mark this, please, or make a mental note of it, and to the faithful. There it is. There's the word. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now notice he distinguishes there. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. Well, really, they ought to be one and the same. But you know, it's sad to say, in the body of Christ today, we have so many people that they're looking for Easy Street. Isn't that true? I mean, boy, they know they're called to be Oral Roberts, but they're not willing to pay the price. Hello. They know they're called to be Billy Graham. Andrew Carnegie for Christ. Move over, Andrew. Here I come. You know, they're going to make all the money in the world, but they're not willing to pay the price. And so many people, boy, they just want to wake up. I guess they think Billy Graham just woke up in a stadium one day, and he was just happened to be words coming out of his mouth. Those of you in the balcony, begin to come right now. The buses will wait for you. And they don't understand the years that a man like that or anybody that's done anything for God, the price that they've had to pay and the faithfulness that's involved. So Paul here, he says, to the saints and to the faithful. Say that with me. To the saints and to the faithful. So we need to be faithful saints. We're all saints through the blood of Christ. You don't have to wait until you get up to the pearly gates. You're a saint right now through the blood of Christ. But God is calling us to be faithful saints in our walk. Well, there's blessings added to that. Look at verse 2. He says, grace be to you. To who? To the saints that are faithful. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, and he begins the book of Colossians the same way, saints that are faithful, saints that are faithful. We're seeing that God wants His people to be faithful. Now go to chapter 6 of this same book, and we're really just going to kind of look at some shotgun verses here, then we're going to settle in on a couple of main passages. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's begin with verse 20. Paul says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. In other words, when he was writing this, he was writing it from a prison house. That's kind of nice to put on your resume as a minister, amen? You know, I was in prison writing this letter to you. Would you please consider my application? All right. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, mark verse 21. It says, but that you may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother, mark this, and faithful minister. Everybody say faithful minister.
Faithful.
Now, folks, you got some ministers, then you got faithful ministers. Isn't that true, Randy? I tell you, you don't have to be in the ministry too long. There's some yo-yo people. I call them yo-yo Christians. Y'all might live next door to some. You might be living with one. I don't know. A yo-yo Christian is a person who's up and down all the time. They never have a steady walk. And he says here about this fellow named Tychicus. He says, man, I can trust him. He's going to come to you. He's going to give you an update on what I'm doing. Because you see, they didn't have Xerox machines back then. Hello? I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you mail out 100 letters to your partners back then. You had to send the letter, word of mouth, via Tychicus. And he says here, I'm sending this fellow, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, who shall make known to you all things, or all of my affairs. He's going to tell you everything. Now, let me give you a definition for the word faithful, and I encourage you to write this down. What does the word faithful mean? Well, in the Greek, and it's pretty consistent, there's one word that's used throughout the New Testament. The word means trustworthy, sure, and true. Trustworthy. Somebody that's trustworthy, sure, and true. And then good old Webster. I mean, I looked it up in Webster's dictionary. Boy, I got some insight on that. It uses two words that I like. Dependable, reliable. Say it with me. Dependable, reliable. Say it again. Dependable. Now, ask yourself, am I dependable? Am I reliable? In other words, if I say that I'm going to be here, like yesterday, boy, they had people running around in here and they were scurrying and being faithful. They were setting chairs up. I mean, these chairs just didn't walk here, you know, in the middle of the night. They were setting up, you know, and they had the PA system going up. There were some faithful people doing it. Well, if you say you're going to be here, you're going to be here. Well, it was raining. I just washed my car. Yeah, all right. So, faithful, reliable, and dependable. Reliable and dependable. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And what I'm really endeavoring to do here in the introductory comments is just give you an overview that God's looking for faithful people. That's what He wants. Not just saved people, faithful people. Don't you know there's a difference? It always disturbs me a little bit when somebody says, well, have you met so-and-so? He's saved, but he's really not walking with God right now. In other words, you'd never know it by looking at him. But he is saved, and I'm sure he speaks in tongues even. Oh, wow. I mean, he must be reliable if he speaks in tongues. No, he might be a yo-yo that speaks in tongues. Have you run into some of them? I'm all for speaking with tongues, but I don't want to be up and down tongue talker. All right, Second Timothy. Y'all just loosen up. I have a good time when I teach the Bible. Some of you are kind of looking in amazement, like, where'd they get this guy, man? All right, Second Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verse 2. Paul, again, telling young Timothy some tricks of the trade, so to speak. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." In other words, he says, Timothy, you've heard me teach about a lot of things, and I've always taught in a fashion that many people could hear it publicly. It wasn't little secret meetings we had. He says, "Among many witnesses, the same commit thou," mark this, "to faithful men." In other words, he says, Timothy, if you're going to be successful as a minister, it's not just anybody and everybody that comes our way we're looking for. You got to latch on to those faithful men, faithful women, faithful people who will do what? Look at it. Who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, when you give them something, they'll do something with it. They'll pass it on and not just sit on it. Remember that song, Standing on the Promises? Anybody remember that? Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Most people are standing on the premises. Not standing on the promises. We've got to be faithful. He says, if I give you something, you're going to be faithful to pass that something on. Now, with all that we've said and said about faithfulness, got to be faithful. Oh, you better be faithful. Watch out. You better be faithful, brother. What is in it for you? I mean, aren't you thinking that? I know y'all never think fleshly thoughts like that. But don't you ever think, well, what is in this for me? If I'm going to be faithful, you know, what's coming my way? Well, the title of our message, we said, the rewards of faithfulness. And I want to tell you, the Scriptures claim there are rewards to the people who will be faithful. The people that are not faithful, they don't get the same rewards. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Well, let's look at a verse in Proverbs that, boy, just nails this right down. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. And let's look at this idea of the rewards of faithfulness. Because, my friend, if you'll latch hold of what we're going to be talking about this morning and this evening, it'll revolutionize your life. I mean, it will cause you to see how you can get from point A to point B. It's one thing to say, boy, I see the vision. I see the dream. I see what I want to accomplish, whether it's business, ministry, whatever it may be. It's another thing to move from point A to point B. And what I'm telling you today in this principle of faithfulness is the main key to get from point A to point B and still have your sanity and still be usable, you see, for the Lord. All right. Proverbs 28, and you mark this verse. Put it in yellow, put it in pink, put it in blue, put it in all those colors. Verse 20, chapter 28, verse 20. Mark this. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's what's in it for you. Let's read that out loud together. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Say it again. A faithful man shall abound. Well, it's one thing for me to say, how many of you want to be faithful? Let's just turn it around. How many of you want to abound with blessings? Woo, glory. I get excited about the blessings. Pour it on, honey. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. So, if you can learn the ingredients of faithfulness, and there's, it's kind of like, you know, there's a certain way to cook pies and things like that. I mean, I'm not a cook, but if you leave something out, it's not going to taste like it looks like on the box, right? I mean, your husband go, boys, that's not supposed to be what that is on the box there? Oh, I left something out. You leave some of the ingredients of faithfulness out, and it's not going to bring you the abundance of blessings. Well, read on there. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Or in other words, shall not go unpunished, or shall not go without suffering. And you know, there's this kind of mentality. I don't know if it's from the lotteries or get rich quick things, but in the body of Christ, there's this subtle thing that, boy, you know, I can be a man of God, of faith and power in 1 hour, and God's looking for faithfulness. And again, it doesn't matter. I'm not just talking to people who aspire to be in the ministry. I'm talking to people who desire to be a faithful saint. God's looking for faithfulness. And it's not something that can just be produced in an hour. It's something that's kind of ground out inch by inch every day in the small things. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in a 52nd floor of an executive suite or if your job is changing the baby's poopies. See, that's where I am right now. Changing, I mean, you know, I can relate to that. Baby, you can't say, move on. I don't want to get into that. You got to be faithful in whatever you do. And you know, people that employ other people, that's really what they're looking for in employees. And it's hard to find faithful people that will do a job and do it right these days. I mean, you go into restaurants these days and the waitress is supposed to wait on your table. The word waiter, waitress means wait on the table. Sometimes I'd like to explain this to the waiters, you see. And so you're sitting there, and then you're supposed to leave a tip. 15% goes to the waitress. Are you a waitress? 20%. Do I earn 25? You know, and could I have some ketchup? They bring you one of those little tinfoil squeezy things, you know. I mean, they make you feel, I mean, here you're supposed to leave them 15%. That's their job, and you can't find them. Or how about, could I have so-and-so? Park it. Park it? This is a drive-thru, man. Park it. And I won't get into what organization that is. But I like to have it my way, you know. God says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. God is looking for faithfulness. Now, go with me to the New Testament, Luke 16, and let's just kind of begin to home in on some of these passages. And just really look at the ingredients of faithfulness. And if you're taking notes, that's really what we're getting into now, the ingredients of faithfulness. Luke, St. Luke chapter 16. Faithfulness. Boy, I tell you, if we could get the body of Christ faithful, we could win the world in just 3 or 4 years. And we will, amen. All right, chapter 16, and let's begin. Mark verse 10, 11, and 12 in your Bible. This is in red, unless you've got one of those cheap Bibles. It ought to be in red. We're going to have a good time. I mean, you know, some of you came in weighed down. We're going to laugh it right off of you. You're going to learn something in the process. See, I'll make you smile and I go... All right, chapter 16, verse 10. Jesus says, he that is, say it, faithful. Everybody say it. He that is what?
Faithful.
All right. Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least, or we might say small things, is, not will be or one day shall be, is faithful also in much. You see, from God's perspective, if you're being faithful in the little bitty things, whether it's changing that diaper or giving an order for the purchase of $50,000 worth of material somewhere, if you're faithful to do it to the best of your ability, trusting God, he says, then you are faithful in much from God's point of view, from God's vantage point. He says, and he that is unjust, or we could say unfaithful in the least or the little things, is, not one day will be, but already is unjust also in the much. And verse 11 says, if therefore you have not been, say it, faithful, and it uses kind of an old English term here, in unrighteous mammon, that just means money, material things. It says, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, let me ask you a question. What are the true riches? The true riches is the dream, the plan, the vision, the lifelong goals that God has for your life. That's really what matters. I mean, when they're getting ready to lower you in the ground, you're probably not going to be thinking, you know, a whole lot about the, well, I see, I forgot to put that purchase order in. We're almost out of diapers, honey. You're going to be face to face with the whole point of life and eternity and what you've done in the light of it. And that's the true riches. And he says, but if you can't handle your money right in this world, he says, how do you expect then God to trust you with the true valuable things? All right, look at verse 12. And if you have not been, say it, faithful, it says faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Boy, everybody wants to start out on top. Isn't that true? Well, I just graduated from school, and what are you applying for? So I'd like to be president. Oh, I see. Well, would you be willing to start and you kind of work your way up? Yeah, no. Now, let me tell you to write three things down. Write three things down that this passage tells us we've got to learn to be faithful in. These are ingredients to faithfulness. Verse 10 says you've got to be faithful in small matters, small things. Small things mean small things. You say, well, it's unimportant. That's a small thing. All right, number 2, verse 11 says you've got to be faithful in money matters. Faithful with your money. And God's pretty plain about that. He doesn't want you to be wasteful. He wants you to be a good steward. He wants you to invest in the kingdom of God with your money. 10% is grade one. You know, that's where you start. 10%, you sow into the church. You got your building program going. I mean, boy, you just go on from there, you see. All right, number 3, verse 12 says, you got to be faithful in that which is another man's. That which is another man's. So if you aspire to have your own business, to be the president or whatever, that's fine. But you're going to have to be faithful as you're working for others and plant the kind of seed that you would want your employees one day to plant for you. Hello, does that make sense? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, boy, that sounds real good, but that's just preach. You don't understand the kind of bear that I work for. It doesn't matter how good a job I do. You don't understand what kind of seeds I sow. They're not going to promote me. I'm not talking about them promoting you. That's the whole freedom and beauty to this message. I'm talking about God Almighty promoting you regardless of any hindrances those people might want to put in your path. And if they refuse to promote you and advance you, God will open a door somewhere else and move you there. So I tell you, that just frees you up. Because you are now working as unto who?
The Lord.
The Lord. So three things there. He says, small things, money matters, and that which is another's. Now, it's kind of sad to say that this primarily hits us where we spend our time. And where we spend our time is generally divided between your job and your home. Isn't that right? Isn't that the majority of your time? Where you spend your time, whether it's a job situation, you may be a student, maybe in the ministry, but there's somewhere that you're spending your time and your days. Could be the homemaker. And the second area is when your family is together, the people that you love. So we're going to have to get into that aspect. You say, well, that's meddling. Keep on preaching. Don't meddle. No, we got to get into that aspect if we're going to learn how to apply these ingredients of being faithful in small things, money matters, and that which is in others. We're going to have to get into the job situation. That makes sense to you? All right, now, go with me to two passages. So you're going to have to be quick with your fingers. Go with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. And hold those two passages simultaneously. We're going to spend the rest of our time right there. Ephesians chapter 6, and these are very similar passages, but there is a slight difference. And Colossians, 3. All right, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Now let's read a passage or passages of Scripture that the Apostle Paul, man, this is the guy that told Timothy, look for faithful men. This is the fellow that started churches all over the world of his day. I mean, he was always out there on the cutting edge. Wrote most of what we are reading called the New Testament here. And here's what he said to the people of his day. Ephesians 6. And I want you to mark verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. These are some of the most important passages, I think, in all of the Bible, or verses. Chapter 6, let's begin with verse 5. Servants. Everybody say servants. Now, as we read this, it's going to become clear that he is writing this passage to what, at that time, were slaves. Because in the Roman Empire, there was slavery. And slavery is not a godly thing. It's one of the most ungodly things that anybody could ever involve themselves with. And you say, well, praise God, it's over with. Well, it's not over with in the rest of the world. There are a lot of places in the world where there is slavery going on. On the west coast of Africa, there are still some slave camps. You kind of get removed from this. Over in Asia, they've got boatloads of children. They just keep on the boats right off the shore, and they force these children to dive down and get the oysters and the different things that people will pay money for. And if they try to get off the boat, they'll kill them. There's slavery going on today. But Paul, he says some things that you almost have to go gulp to see what he's saying here. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart. Mark this, as unto Christ. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will of doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now I want you to mark verse 8 real big, because that's the promise. This is the corresponding passage in the New Testament to what we read in Proverbs 28, verse 20. Knowing. Everybody say knowing. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of who? Not those same men, because they may be ungodly men. He says, but you can trust in the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, Paul is not endorsing slavery here, but he's saying, if you find yourself in that situation, and he says in other places, you take your freedom as quick as possible. In fact, Paul helped a slave get away named Onesimus, and that's why the whole book called Philemon was written. Because Paul was helping a slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus became Paul's helper in the gospel. But he's saying here, I want to teach you a principle of service. That as you're faithful in that situation, God Almighty will make a way for you to become free. Now, if that's a principle that he was telling slaves and servants of his day, what more are those of us that are free? Hello? Does that make sense to you? So I'd like to reread this and change a few words. Give me the liberty to apply it to our culture and our context. Verse 5. Employees. Oh, boy. Doesn't that sound good? Everybody say employees.
Employees.
It says, employees, be obedient to them that are your employers, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing. Everybody say knowing. You say, well, Jason, that's impossible for me to do what you're talking about because I know good and well that they're not ever going to advance me. They're not going to promote me because they pay peanuts as it is. It says knowing that of who? Knowing that of the Lord, it says. Whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive, mark that, of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, there's three things here that stand out to me. The first one, it says that you have to work as unto Christ. Whatever you're doing, whether you're working on the assembly line, working in the office, working in the home, working in the ministry, God is calling His people to be faithful, and the way to be faithful, first of all, is to learn to work as unto Christ. You've got to see it that way. You can't see that your employer is Mr. Bear, or Mr. Brown, or whoever it may be. You've got to see that your employer is Jesus Christ. I want you to say this out loud. My employer, as a Christian, is Jesus Christ. I'm working for Jesus. He's my boss. He pays me. He promotes me. I tell you, this will totally set you free, because what it allows you to do, it allows you to lift your vision over all those people and all those obstacles, and allows you to get your eyes set on your source, who is God, through Jesus Christ, and know that He'll move you through, under, around, over. Some way He'll advance you if your working is unto Him. Well, I tell you, I found this out in a royal way when I first started in the ministry. Boy, I used to have the philosophy, if it's God, it'll just flow. Hallelujah. You ever kind of thought that? Boy, if God's in this, honey, it'll just flow. Easy street. I found out real quick. And you know, I've been doing this now over 8 years. And after 8 years, you finally get to the point you make up your mind. Am I in this because of all the fringe benefits, whatever they are? I haven't discovered them yet. Or are you in this because God's called you to do it? I mean, after that length of time, you face a lot of questions. You face yourself and you ask honest questions, you see, like that. Take inventory. But I can remember the first crusade that we ever had. We started in a little town called Vidalia, Georgia. Has anybody ever heard of Vidalia? Home of the sweet onions. And my wife and I had left Tulsa, Oklahoma. We met at Oral Roberts University, and God, we knew, called us into the ministry. We knew we were not called to be pastors. We were called to be teachers and evangelists. We had nothing when we started. I'm telling you, nothing. We had a U-Haul, and it was one of the small U-Hauls full of all of our belongings. We left Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was driving. Martha was sitting over there, and we had a little parakeet in the middle. His name was Jonah. And boy, you know how those trucks go down there. Man, when we finally got to Vidalia, that little parakeet had been sitting there he sat in his cage for a week just kind of going like this. We got to Vidalia, Georgia, and that's another story. I don't have time to tell you why we went there and so forth. But we knew that God was leading us there. And so we were going to have our first crusade. And it looks so easy on TV when Billy Graham does it. And you know, I had shared a lot. I'd won a lot of people one-on-one. I mean, you know, I went through campus crusade. They'll teach you how to win people. Glory to God. I learned how to do that. But it's another thing when you're out in a parking lot and some people are sitting on their trucks eating sweet onions. Some people are drinking. We had one guy, you know, come through on a motorcycle. Come through. And, you know, it's just wonderful how those type of things will happen. And so we had our crusade. We borrowed everything. We borrowed the first flatbed truck. You know, the big, long 40-foot trailer, the flatbed kind. That was our platform. We borrowed the music group. We borrowed the sound system. We borrowed everything. We did have a little bit of money that we bought a 40-foot, if you can imagine, it was about that tall, but it was 40 feet long to cover the whole back of the trailer. And my wife spent about 2 or 3 weeks on her hands and knees. She's an artist, painting the big thing. Jesus is Lord. Here we come. We're going to have our crusade. Hallelujah. So we got out there, you know, and boy, I had prayed, I had studied, I had fasted. Man, I just knew, you know, we were going to have great things happen. Well, the first night the wind started blowing, and we hadn't thought about what you do with a 40-foot piece of canvas. Honey, their sailboats don't have that much. We could have won that cup they just won, you know. And so we had some men that had volunteered to help. Bless them, you know. Boy, we got back there, and this thing was laid on the ground, and we had to, see, raise it up to attach it to the back of the flatbed truck so people out there looking could see Jesus is Lord. And I'll never forget. And of course, I'm trying to be spiritual. Amen. You want to be spiritual when you minister. You don't want to go in there, you know, all disoriented and everything. And so, boy, I was trying to be spiritual, but it seemed like there's a million things to do before the first meeting, and I was trying to get it all together. We'll have a meeting in 5 minutes. And the backdrop's not up. And we put the backdrop up, and one of the men had his hand around one of the poles like this. And his fingers got caught between the back of the flatbed and the pole, and the wind caught that thing, and it just went, and he was about to go, he was just screaming. He's going, my hand. Man, we were back there trying to get it off. We couldn't get it off. And of course, there's always one spiritual one in the crowd. After this guy finally got his hand out, and he was kind of walking like this. You know, and of course, this was all helping to set the atmosphere, you know, for the crusade. He said, and his fingers were broken. He said, I think my fingers are broken. And there's always one spiritual one in the crowd. They said, let's pray for God to heal him. I said, we don't have time to pray for God to heal him. I'm just being honest with you. This happened. I said, we don't have time. Take you to the hospital. This guy's going off. Well, that first night I preached my heart out, glory to God. I preached from Genesis to Revelation. And finally I got to the altar call, and it occurred to me after I got to the altar call that I didn't know how to give an altar call. You know? And so I'm trying to find myself on the platform, and I'm pacing back and forth. I mean, that's the way Jimmy Swaggart does it, amen? So he's supposed to pace back and forth. I mean, you know, and if you get too hot, pull out your white handkerchief while you're doing it, you know. Just keep going. And I said, here's the extent of my altar call. I said, if you want to get saved, get saved. And then I got disturbed because nobody was coming forward. Well, I didn't tell them to come forward. They just sat there. I came over on this side. I said, if you want to get saved, repent and get saved. Nobody came forward. Man, I tell you, my little heart just went, oh. And we're going to do this thing for 4 nights, right? Man, I tell you what. I think we had one person come forward. It was my dad. He always helps me out by coming forward. Glory to God, you know, we had ushers, we had decision cards, we had the whole thing. I said, let me see the decision cards. One. I said, oh, hallelujah. John A. Peebles. That's my dad. Recommitment. Oh, man, I tell you, I felt terrible. I went home that night, and I just felt terrible. It's kind of like Oral Roberts used to say, I felt lower than the rut of a wagon wheel. They would have had a jacknip to bury me. All those things. I mean, I just felt terrible. Boy, the next night, you know, it's all I could do just to kind of get my breath back, you know, and get ready to go. Boy, the next night, here we come. It rained. I'm not talking about just mist and rain. It rained. Well, I mean, you know, to be charismatic and full of faith and not be able to rebuke the rain, you're in trouble. We rebuked the rain. We told it to leave. We told the clouds to part. We did everything. It still rains. That made me feel worse. I thought, man, I said, this is terrible. We put money into radio announcements. You know, by this time I was talking to my wife. I said, you know, honey, don't you think God told us to come here? Honey, yeah, I think God told us to come here. Well, why is it raining? Why is this? Why is that? The third night, somehow I got back up on the platform, you know. I preached my heart out again. Nominal results, nothing to write home about. Then it started raining. And it was predicted to rain, you know, through the weekend. Well, I walked up. I couldn't sleep. I got up about 4 that morning. And I walked up there. I mean, I drove up there and walked up on the platform. We had set up right across from the hot spot where McDonald's and TGY is, you know. And I just said, I was so depressed. And I was crying physically. I was just crying. And it was raining just like they had
promised, you know. And I said, God, I said, what's going on here? What are you doing? And it was just like the devil. I mean, it just timed it just perfect. You know that banner that said, Jesus is Lord? Somehow it had gotten just to the saturation point, right when I said, God, what are you doing? And the Jesus is Lord banner goes down in the mud. I looked at that and I just went, and it was so obvious, you know, that that wasn't God. I said, God, what are you doing? I just heard one thing. I heard God just say, just be faithful. I just heard this. I think I heard a voice. See, it was one of those types. Of course, the devil doesn't tell you to be faithful. God just said, just be faithful. Well, the last night somehow I got up there and I preached, you know, and we had a few get saved. And that was my initiation into the ministry. And I learned right then, boy, you got to be faithful. Why am I telling you that story? What I didn't know is that at that meeting every night, sitting in the way in the back of the TGNY parking lot in a white Lincoln Continental with smoked glass, you know, mafia type, was this guy watching me every night. Several weeks later, he sent a check of $10,000 for us to get the necessary equipment to start our ministry off with. Amen. Give God a hand for that. I do. We used that money. We bought our first copy machine. We rented a building and started a coffee house. We bought our own PA system. I mean, that is what helped us kind of get started. And I often look back on that and I think, what if I had to quit? And I tell you, I was so tempted to quit. I didn't want to go back out the second night, the third night. I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed. I wondered what was going on. And God just said, Jason, you just be faithful. And I was having, look at that passage again in Ephesians 6. I was having to learn to work as unto Christ. Everybody says unto Christ. In fact, I want you to count it. Look in verse chapter 6, verse 5. Look at verse 5. He says, as unto Christ. That's one time. Look at verse 6. As the servants of Christ. That's two times. And look at verse 7. As to the Lord. I think he's trying to tell us something, don't you? We've got to have our perspective that we are working for the Lord and not for what people think, not for politicking, because if I do this or do that, maybe I'll get an advancement here, I'll get a promotion there, they'll put a good word in for me here. You see? But you're doing it as unto the Lord. Now, hold your finger in Ephesians 6. Don't leave it. And let's read the really almost the identical passage in Colossians chapter 3. Mark verses 22 through 25. Colossians 3 verse 22 says, servants, or we could say employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now let me just qualify that there, in all things. You understand that when you study Scripture, you must study Scripture in context of all Scripture. Does that make sense to you? He's not saying there, you do immoral things, you do ungodly things. If somebody asks you to do something immoral, you just be as graceful as you can. You bow out. If they won't let you bow out, then you leave. And God will open another door for you. You know, if there's a government going on like the Nazi regime or something of that nature, you don't obey that kind of government. You obey God, first of all. But he's saying here that in a normal, everyday situation, you obey what they tell you to do. They say, I want you to stock the shelves this way. You say, well, I think it would be better this way. And then they say, well, we don't like that suggestion. Then you stock it the way they want it stocked. Does that make sense to you? All right, so he says here, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of the heart, fearing God. Verse 23. In fact, verse 23 summarizes the whole passage. You may want to circle that. That would be a great one to memorize to catch the whole thing. It says, and whatsoever you do. Everybody say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
All right, that covers it all. Changing diapers, executive suite, ministerial, student. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Look at this. As to the Lord and not to men. Knowing. Everybody say knowing. Here comes the promise. The rewards of faithfulness. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve, or you're working for, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 25 kind of gives a warning. It says, but he that does wrong. And it's in the context of your job or employment situation. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. In other words, don't think that you're the exception to the rule. Now, I don't think what he's teaching there is that, you know, God's going to look down and see you do something wrong and go, okay, that's one lightning bolt. I think what he's saying there is the law of sowing and reaping is going to catch up with you. And that's how you're going to receive of the wrong, which you've done. You planted bad seed, you're going to get run into some bad seed down the road somewhere. It's kind of like these guys that they're always bucking their employer. They're always mad at this, always whispering behind his back. Finally, somehow, one day, they stumble in their own situation, and they're trying to get their employees to be faithful unto them, and they don't know how to do it because they've never been faithful themselves. It's kind of like the old guy, you know, the boy, he's just been on doing his own thing. Boy, I'm 18 years old, and I know everything. Remember that? I'm 18 years old, and I know everything. You can't tell me anything. Boy, he says, I'm quitting. I don't like you telling me to stock the shelves this way and that way. I'm quitting. Job hopping. Finally, he says, I'm getting away from it all, and he joins the army. Shouldn't have done that. Says, we want you to do 50 push-ups. I don't feel like doing 50. You don't feel like doing 50 push-ups. And he begins to learn, maybe not from the heart, but he will learn to be faithful. So, back to Ephesians. We're going to go between these two passages, Colossians and Ephesians. The first thing I think there, with regards to faithfulness, he says, as unto Christ. The second thing, which is really the reverse of it, you want to put this in your notes. The second thing you must learn with regards to faithfulness in your work situation or where you spend the time, not only do you work as unto Christ, you work not as unto men. You work not as unto men. Look at verse 7. Ephesians 6, verse 7. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and... Everybody say and. See, not unto men. That's a little different. That's a little more difficult at times. I'll give another example from my own life. I can remember before I went into the ministry, I worked in surgery as an assistant at Hillcrest Medical Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And specifically, I was working in conjunction with the orthopedic surgical suites, and I was an assistant. I was not a doctor. I was a registered nurse working with the doctors that were doing the surgeries. But I loved it. It was the kind of thing, you know, all the hammers and everything. I liked it. I just enjoyed that kind of thing. But there was one guy in the surgery ward that hated my guts. You say, how do you know that he hated your guts? Because every day, as I'd see him in the hall, I'd say, Jason, I hate your guts. It's true. This guy was an orderly, you know, push beds up and down the hall and this type of thing. And boy, I'd be going to work, just having a good time. So his name was Danny. I'd say, hey, Danny. He'd say, I hate your guts. Well, have a good day, too. Okay. You know, well, this kind of has a way of worrying on you day after day. Danny had chosen the lifestyle, I guess, of homosexuality. He knew where I stood. In the locker room where we'd have to change our uniforms between the surgeries because you kind of get messed up. And I won't go into that. But all the other guys, they'd open up their lockers, and boy, they'd have, you know, penthouse and Playboy and all this. And Danny had some other things I won't get into. I opened my locker door up, and it said, in case of rapture, I won't be here. Smile, God loves you. I'm on my way to heaven, heaven or bust. You know, I had all those type of things. And boy, they'd sit in the locker room, you know, and boy, they'd read their books and everything like that. And I just, you know, God told me not to preach to them. But, I mean, I wasn't going to be intimidated. I was going to read my Bible. Praise God. So I'd just sit in the locker room, read my Bible. And there'd be many times that Danny would just say, I hadn't said a word. Danny would say, don't preach to me. I hate your guts. Okay? Oh, glory to God. Cut his head off, David. Do it again. You know? I just have a good time. Well, this went on for months and months and months. Worked there for a long time. And you know how at Christmas time they choose names, and guess whose name I just happened to choose? I'm telling you the truth. I didn't plan it. I just reached in the pot like everybody else, and I put out Danny. And you know, everybody really hated Danny. They let him know. They rejected him because of that. And God told me, he says, you just love him with the love of God. And he says, obviously you don't approve of that, but every chance you get, you plant a positive seed on him. And so, I went out. And this was kind of a joke, really. I mean, you know, these Christmas parties are usually a joke. You're supposed to give kind of the funny items, deodorant. That's what everybody was giving each other. Can of deodorant, mouthwash, toilet paper, you know, things like that. They had like a $5 limit. I went out and I bought Danny like a $60 leather bound study Bible, red letter edition concordance. Boy, I was so proud of it. I wrapped that up, and hallelujah, boy, I've spent much more than the budget. And boy, I was just getting ready for that Christmas party, and I knew it was going to be the hit of the hour, you know. And I really hadn't thought about whether Danny wanted it or not. I just knew he needed it, and so I bought it for him. And one day, the voice of God spoke to me in my heart, you know, just how the Lord will speak to you in your heart. And he said, what did you buy, Danny? You're always in trouble when God asks you that, because he already knows. I said, I bought him a Bible. He says, do you think Danny's going to appreciate that? I said, you asking me? I said, man, he needs this. He said, why don't you get him something that he would appreciate? I said, well, I'll take it back. He said, no, I mean in addition to that. Now, you know how your flesh does. I said, man, I've already spent $60. The Lord said, get him something he would appreciate. Well, I went and I bought him one of these men's bracelets, you know, kind of, it wasn't gold, obviously, but it was a gold color, and I wrapped that up. So the day came. They were going around the break room, you know, and the physicians in there, the nurses, the orderlies, everybody was in there. And oh, ha-ha, deodorant, ha-ha, mouthwash, ha-ha, toilet paper, oh, great, just what I wanted, you know. Everything going around the room, they got to Danny. Danny opened his box, pulled it out, there's a bracelet. It was literally, it was a hush. And they're like, oh, wow, who gave you that? He looked down in there, he said, I don't know. And he dug down further, he pulled out the button and goes, Jason. Well, I can't honestly tell you that Danny accepted Christ, because he didn't. But I planted good seeds on him. But it's just probably coincidence. You know how those things kind of happen. Just so happened I was promoted to be the head of the orthopedic surgical suite. No. I believe that principle right there is what got me the promotion. As I worked as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Because I tell you, my natural reaction, and if you'll be honest, your natural reaction isn't always godly either towards people. I mean, how do you like somebody to say, I hate your guts? I felt like saying, you know, I know where you're going. You're going to burn, buddy. I know y'all never think things like that. Yeah, like a fire for you. You'd be wishing you'd listen. No, but as I said, hey, I can't work as unto this fella. I can't let him influence my decisions and my reactions. I got to work as unto Christ. I'm going to look over Danny, and I'm going to look as unto Christ. I'm working for him. As I did that and continued to plant good seed, I believe with all my heart that God took that good seed and gave me the promotion that I was looking for. And if they hadn't have promoted me, God would have opened it up somewhere else. Well, he finally did. I mean, you know, here I am, and I consider that a promotion to be in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here, not as unto men. You must work as unto Christ. And the last thing that I think we need to take note of, it says from the heart. Everybody say from the heart. You know, it's one thing to outwardly go through the motions. It's another thing to put your heart in it. And if your heart is not in what you're doing, listen to me now, this will help you. If your heart is not in what you're doing, then you're not working as unto Christ. You've still got your eyes on the situation. You say, well, hey, what I'm doing is so boring, you can't believe what I'm doing. Listen, God is not really interested in what you're doing. God could care less if you're shelling butter beans or if you're ordering $50,000 worth of building material. You know what God's interested in? How you're responding in that thing and developing. You can actually grow further in the Spirit doing a menial task, if you're faithful, than some minister who's going through the outward motions every week, but his heart is far from the Lord. It really doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters how you're responding in that. Now, having said all that, why is this so important? You know, and I've tried to add some humor to this so that it kind of goes down easy, kind of like take a medicine. Sugar rabbit, you see. Why is it so important? Because you'll never get to the fulfillment of your dream if you don't get this principle of faithfulness in your life. Doesn't matter what you're called to. To fulfill God's best for your life. And some of you say, well, you know, I'm middle-aged or I'm up in years. Hey, that doesn't guarantee that you fulfilled God's dream yet. Man, Moses didn't start till what, he was like 80? You're just getting going. Everybody say, my best days. Say it like you mean it. My best days are yet ahead. Now that's true. And if you'll get hold of this idea of faithfulness and begin to apply it and work it, it will work for you. Look at that promise again. Chapter 6, verse 8. Man, mark it and hang on to it. Knowing. So you got to know this, honey. You got to be so convinced of this. This word knowing means epinosis, full knowledge. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, in the context, look at the verses above it, in your job or work situation, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. In other words, this will work for the person that's in slavery. It'll work for the person that's a free man. God will promote you. And then go to Colossians and let's look at the promise over there again. Colossians 3:24, knowing that Paul uses the same word, knowing that of the Lord, everybody say of the Lord. See, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve or you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today, this morning, and we're going to continue on this tonight. We're going to be talking about Joseph and how Joseph had a dream. And we're going to follow his faithfulness and some of the steps that went through his life and how he became the ruler, see, over Egypt. And how you can become the ruler in your life and in your world. I want to encourage you. Some of you right now, you're saying, boy, that sounds great, but I've blown it. Oh, dear God, I've blown it. You know, I've had bad attitudes. I've talked about this person. I've talked about that. Just repent. That means just change your mind. Change your ways. Turn around. God's grace will cover it. And you start today. And you've got that hope, you see, of that dream being fulfilled out in front of you. Have you learned something this morning?
Amen.
How many of you are going to use it? Could I see your hands? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.